Good morning. Welcome to the press briefing of the UN Information Service here in Geneva. Today is Tuesday, 7th of April, and I would just like to start this briefing, very short briefing, by the way, by reminding you that today the international community commemorates the International Day of Reflection on the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda. We have sent you the message of the Secretary General, who says that 32 years ago, Rwanda endured one of the darkest chapters in human history. In just 100 days, more than 1 million people were murdered, primarily Tutsi, but also Hutu and others who opposed the genocide. Entire families were brutally erased. On this day, we mourn the victims and honor their stolen dignity. We pay tribute to the survivors whose resilience shows the strength of the human spirit. And we recall with humility and shame the international community's failure to heed warnings and take immediate life-saving action. The Secretary General says it's not enough to remember the dead. We must learn from past failure and protect the living by rejecting hatred, inflammatory rhetoric, and incitement to violence, by investing in the social fabric to deepen community resilience, and by strengthening institutions that help prevent mass atrocities. And the Secretary General to call on all countries to become parties to the Genocide Convention without delay and to implement it fully. The United Nations stands with the people of Rwanda, and we stand with all those everywhere who refuse to surrender our future to fear, division, or silence. Let this day reaffirm our commitment to remember, to listen, and to act, with history as our guide and the prevention of genocide as our goal. And to commemorate this very important day, we are going to organize, we are going to hold a solemn commemoration at 4 o'clock in Assembly Hall, to which you are all invited, where we will hear not only speeches by authorities, but also, as we do every year, the testimony of a victim of the Rwanda genocide. And that is what I have for you today. As I said, it was a brief briefing, but you may have questions, for which I'll open now the floor in the room. Yes, Olivia. We have a few colleagues listening, so please go ahead.
Thank you. Morning. Just a question, please, for the World Health Organization. Just following the attack that killed a contractor for the World Health Organization in Gaza, and any update on the situation and what that means for the Rafah crossing for medical evacuations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we have online Christian. So, Christian, you want to answer Olivia's question?
Yeah, thank you very much, Olivia. I have a statement from our Director General, Dr. Tedros. WHO is devastated to confirm that a person contracted to provide services to the organization in Gaza was killed yesterday during a security incident. Two WHO staff members were present but were not injured. We extend our condolences to the family, loved ones, and colleagues of the deceased. The incident is under investigation by the relevant authorities. Following the incident, WHO suspended yesterday's medical evacuation of patients from Gaza via Rafah to Egypt. Medical evacuations will remain suspended until further notice. We're deeply grateful to our colleagues who work day and night despite the risks to ensure that the people of Gaza can access the healthcare they need. We call for the protection of civilians and humanitarian workers. Peace is the best medicine.
Absolutely. Olivia, is that your hand? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. And this is actually a separate question, so thank you very much, Christian. Just a question, do we have any details on which countries that the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres' personal envoy Jean Arnault is visiting, and perhaps some more details about what his role is concerning the Middle East crisis? Thank you.
No, I only have I don't have the detail of the countries, just the fact that he's heading to the region. In fact, yesterday he was heading to the region, so I guess he's already there. We'll be able to report more details soon, and I'll try to get something today to come back to you on this, Olivia.
Also a question, yes, there's any, thank you, comment on this looming deadline tonight.
Yeah.
What is the UN's view and level of concern concerning threats to targets civilian infrastructure in Iran?
Yeah, we can, I will read to you the statements about this. We were alarmed by the rhetoric seen in that social media post that threatened American attacks on power plants, bridges, and other infrastructure should Iran not agree to a deal. The Secretary General has been very clear on issues regarding international law, and he urges yet again all parties to abide by their obligations regarding the conduct of these hostilities. And he recalls that civilian infrastructure, including energy infrastructure, may not be attacked, even if specific civilian infrastructures were to qualify as a military objective. International humanitarian law would still prohibit attacks against them if they may be expected to cause excessive incidental civilian harm. Once again, the Secretary General reaffirms that it's high time for the parties to stop this conflict, as there is no viable alternative to the peaceful settlement of international disputes. Antonio?
Good morning. My question is for Babar. I would like to know if UNHCR has updated figures on displacement in Iran, Lebanon, and other parts of Middle East. Thank you.
Lucky we are, because we've got
thank
Babar.
You. Thank you. Thank you, dear. Good morning. Indeed, we have the numbers for Lebanon that we have been updating you has crossed the 1 million mark. So these are IDPs who are displaced inside Lebanon. Plus with that, we also have had nearly 200,000 Syrians that have left Lebanon and arrived into Syria. And with those also nearly 32,000 Lebanese that have arrived also in Syria. For inside Iran, we don't have yet an updated figures. Remember the last one that we spoke about or kind of shared was at 3.2 million people who were internally displaced. And these were according to official numbers or sources from the local authorities. We can kind of try to see if there is an update to give you in the coming days or during the next briefing. Thank you.
Thank you, Babar. Agnes?
Yes, hi, thank you. It's a question to WHO on this incident that happened in Gaza. I saw yesterday the evening the statement from the DG, but I wanted to know if you have more details about the circumstances on this incident, of what happened exactly. What can you tell us about that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Agnes. No, indeed, the statement is all we have so far. As the statement says, it's under investigation, and for now, everything is suspended.
Musa?
Oui, merci beaucoup. J'ai une question concernant la situation médicale au Liban. Surtout au sud du Liban, s'il y a encore des hôpitaux qui fonctionnent, des centres médicaux qui fonctionnent, et la situation médicale en général au Liban. Et j'aurais voulu savoir la position concernant les propos du président américain quand on traite une population en animaux. Donc il a dit hier, les Iraniens sont des animaux. Alors, ainsi, bien sûr, la menace de détruire l'Iran et détruire tous ces sites vitaux. On aurait bien aimé avoir une position ou bien une déclaration de la part des droits de l'homme. Merci.
Merci beaucoup. Je viens de lire une déclaration justement sur l'alarme des Nations Unies par rapport à cette rhétorique et puis on portera votre question aux collègues des droits de l'homme, mais entre-temps, je donne la parole à Christian I don't know if you want to answer the question about the situation, medical situation in Lebanon.
Yeah, thank you very excuse me. Thank you very much, Musa. I indeed have a few things I can update on. The humanitarian access to areas in the south of the country where thousands of people have who have chosen to remain in their homes continues to be a major logistical and security issue. And mind you, these are data as of, I think, 6 April, so yesterday's data. The MOH, the Ministry of Health, is reporting at least 1,461 deaths, including 129 children with more than 4,400 injuries. Deaths have been rising sharply by over 50% in just 1 week. Since 2nd of March, 92 attacks on healthcare were verified, resulting in 53 deaths and 137 injuries. As a result of the IDF evacuation orders, 51 primary healthcare centers and 6 hospitals are now closed. WHO has verified over 88 attacks on healthcare since 2nd of March, resulting in more than those deaths mentioned. Displacement remains massive, with over 1 million self-registered internally displaced people, with some nearly 140,000 hosted in 674 collective shelters, placing significant pressure on services, particularly in Beirut and Mount Lebanon. Displacement is driving rising risks of infectious diseases, including measles, hepatitis A, and acute diarrheal diseases, particularly in overcrowded shelter situations. Children are disproportionately affected, making up around 1/3 of the displaced people, with tens of thousands already living in shelters under increasingly fragile conditions. Women and girls make up 53% of displaced people in shelters, which are also hosting tens of thousands of children, older people, and people with disabilities, highlighting the growing protection and health risks, as according to the Ministry of Public Health. Mental health needs are surging, with thousands seeking support as trauma, fear, and uncertainty deepen across affected communities. And maybe a final word, health services remain and continue under pressure, but remain operational. Some facilities reporting occupancy rates is up to 95% or over. Consultations have been provided to displaced populations, and people have received medications for acute and chronic conditions. That is in the north, because in the south you have these many impacts, as mentioned. That's what I have.
Thank you very much, Christian. I see Paula.
Yes, good morning. Well, also for Christian, so regarding the killing of the contract worker, would he be then a local worker contracted in Gaza? Do we know his or her nationality? And then regarding the medical evacuations, how have those been proceeding recently, and how many people are still expecting to be evacuated or on the waiting list to be evacuated?
Well, thank you, Gola. On the staff, I have no further information on them. Typically, a contracted staff is a local, but I do not have more information than what I gave you. On evacuations, well, that one was now halted until further notice. For the further evacuations and what's still out there, please send an email and we'll try to get back to you, because we do not have further information on much what's going on right now.
Thank you, Christian. Mohammed.
Alessandro, thank you so much. My question is about the Middle East and for you. As you may have seen, it is reported that the efforts are underway to secure a 4-5 day ceasefire between the US, Iran, and the regional mediators. My question is the United Nations being informed about these negotiations, and what would you like to say about these claims?
At the moment, I don't have any particular information about to the best of my knowledge, the UN are not involved in those efforts yet. But as the Secretary General says, we are ready to support any efforts towards peace. I have Imogen.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. This is for Christian as well, about the incident in which the driver was shot and killed, because even as you were answering my colleague from AFP, we Geneva correspondents got a message from the Israeli mission, which has what they say happened, which is that an unmarked car accelerated towards IDF forces, and the IDF forces opened fire. So, just to be clear, if this was a medical evacuation by the WHO, were there or were there not marked vehicles?
Thank you, Imogen. I have no further information, so I can neither confirm nor deny what the vehicle is. Typically, there would be WHO marked vehicles, but I do not have further information at this point.
Catherine, I don't think.
Yes.
We can hear you. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Good morning, Alessandra. Thank you for giving me the floor. I'd like to come back to Lebanon. The first is Babar mentioned the fact that many Syrians went back, returned to their country. Could Babar give us some numbers and also tell us where these people are, in fact, what are the conditions of their return in their country? And I have also a question regarding also Lebanon, regarding the fact that Israel announced and is destroying villages in the south of the country. I would like to have, if there's a reaction about these announcements of different countries, meaning United States of America, Israel, or even Iran, about destroying civilian houses and areas. And also the fact that Israel forces destroyed cameras linked to the United Nations peacekeepers 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you for answering these questions.
Babar, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Catherine. The number we have so far, and this is since the start of the conflict, with the evacuation orders and also strikes inside Lebanon. So those that have arrived in Syria, Syrians themselves, that number is nearly 200,000. The exact number that I got was more than 190,000 Syrians. But also, as we have been mentioning, there are also many Lebanese that have crossed into Syria, and that number is 32,000 right now. And many of the Syrians who are arriving back into their country, some of them were probably already kind of weighing their options, but many have been affected by the recent conflict. We understand they're trying to go to their places of origin, to the extended family network, but just let's not forget that Syria also has gone through so much in the past many years, so it's not easy for them to restart their life over there. That's why my colleagues working with the local authorities, with other humanitarian agencies, we are there to support them. But that number, we have seen that it has been increasing day by day as this conflict intensifies and escalates. Thank you.
Yeah, and Catherine, I think what as I said, we have seen all this rhetoric. We are looking at the actions, especially in Lebanon, as has been said by colleagues. And I really would like to reiterate that our call to everyone remains urgent. We need de-escalation. We need respect of international humanitarian law. We must protect civilians, people, the belligerent must protect civilians, including humanitarian and health workers. We need to make sure that whoever is involved in the fight ensures safe, unimpeded access for humanitarian delivery. And also, we need funds, and that is something that we have not mentioned until now. As of yesterday, less than $100 million of the $308 million required under the March appeal for Lebanon has been received. So these are all elements that we need to reaffirm when speaking about the situation in Lebanon. Gabriela. Oh, sorry, no, Catherine has a follow-up. Maybe I'll take Catherine first. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Alessandra, for what you just mentioned. I'd like also to go back to the financial needs for Syria, and to know where are the place where Lebanese people are crossing the most. Is it in the south, the side of Bekaa Valley, or is it in other regions of Lebanon that in fact Lebanese are crossing the border to find a safe place in Syria? And if is there anything organized to welcome them over there? Does UNHCR has the financial capacity to register them and to help them? Or is there any financial needs? Are there any financial needs? Thank you, Baba.
Thank you, Catherine. I mean, as our colleague came and briefed last week from Damascus, I can try to look up the notes and share. Indeed, I mean, there are financial needs, and as Alessandra was saying, the situation inside Lebanon is alarming, but also for those who are arriving to a country like Syria, where displacement has already been huge, and also we also have seen millions of Syrians who are either internally displaced or who are refugees that are also coming back now because of what is happening inside Lebanon. For Syrians, some may be able to join their extended family members, others will need help. For Lebanese, I mean, for them, they have just left their own country, Lebanon, and have arrived in Syria. So we are in touch, in coordination with the local authorities in terms of how to see best support them. I can try to get the exact notes for you and share those again. Thank you.
And maybe, Catherine, just to add, because you were asking questions about the strikes in the southern Lebanon, what I can tell you is that we remain deeply concerned by the ongoing escalations between Hezbollah and Israel, including Israeli strikes in Beirut. The UN interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, peacekeepers, report in their area of operations continued exchanges of rocket and artillery fire, airstrikes and clashes on the ground, alongside an increased presence of Israeli forces and assets inside the Lebanese territory. Again, we urge all actors to uphold their obligations under international law and to ensure the safety and security of civilians and of UN personnel at all times. Gabriela.
Thank you, Alessandra. My question is for Christian. And I would like to know, I mean, we saw what Israel did in Palestine, no? They destroyed the place. Now, Lebanon. Okay, so my question is, they are, as you mentioned, they are not obeying international humanitarian law. Okay. My question is, what are you thinking about mental health of Lebanese? because civilians are under extreme circumstances and mental health of the people is so important. So my question is, if you are planning something to help the people regarding mental health of civilians. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gabriela. There's multiple aspects here on your thing. The human rights situation, obviously, it's not for me to comment on, for WHO to comment on. But as I stated just before, the mental health needs are surging extremely, with thousands seeking support as trauma, fear, and uncertainty deepen across the affected communities. And WHO is supporting the response to the delivery of trauma and emergency surgical kits, which is, of course, more the physical damages and physical injuries, essential medicines and medical supplies with consignment expected to support thousands of trauma patients and tens of thousands of people requiring care, alongside the support for the coordination, surveillance, and mental health services. Thank you.
Thank you, Musa. Vous entend pas, Moussa? Ah, mais non, oui. Ouais, ça devrait marcher
oui,
là.
Oui, ouais, ouais. Oui, merci. J'ai une question, mais je ne sais pas si vous pouvez répondre à ça, Alessandra. C'est que quand Israël détruit une partie des villages au sud du Liban, ils ont déjà détruit une ligne de villages durant les 15 derniers mois. Maintenant, ils sont en train de détruire une deuxième ligne de villages entièrement. Donc, ces villages sont plus habitables. Et quand on menace encore de détruire encore et encore et encore, est-ce que cela, pour les Nations Unies, ce n'est pas un crime de guerre déjà annoncé par les autorités israéliennes directement? Et aussi la même chose en Iran, quand on entend, je reviens au propos du président américain qui va détruire l'Iran, est-ce que pour les Nations Unies, ce n'est pas déjà un crime de guerre annoncé par les Américains et les Israéliens eux-mêmes? Merci.
Merci Moussa. Alors évidemment, moi je ne parle pas pour les droits de l'homme, mais c'est clair que si vous parlez de cette attaque contre des villages, contre la population civile, c'est clairement une violation du droit international humanitaire. Donc il pourrait configurer des crimes de guerre, mais c'est évidemment à une cour de juger de cela. Mais c'est clair que pour ce qui s'est déjà passé, donc les destructions auxquelles vous faites référence, là, on est devant une violation du droit international humanitaire. Ça, c'est sûr. Et pour ce qui concerne les menaces qui ont été proférées, comme on a dit, on est extrêmement alarmé pour ça et on demande, on rappelle à tout le monde leur obligation sur ces droits internationaux humanitaires. Merci. Moussa. Et puis je reprends Gabriela. Pardon, Gabriela.
Oui, concernant les au Liban, les casques bleus au Liban, est-ce qu'il y a eu des enquêtes? Parce que jusqu'à maintenant, les filles n'ont pas annoncé qui a tiré sur les casques bleus. Il y a eu deux soldats indonésiens qui sont morts, il y a beaucoup de blessés. On a entendu l'ambassadeur de l'Indonésie ici à Genève accuser Israël de tirer vers les casques bleus. On a entendu aussi à Paris, ils ont convoqué l'ambassadeur d'Israël. Donc, il me semble que tout le monde sait qui a tiré sur l'UNIFIL, à part l'UNIFIL. Est-ce qu'il y a des clarifications là-dessus? Merci.
Alors nous, on a, comme vous savez, on a demandé, alors maintenant je ne sais pas comment on dit en français, accountability, full accountability regarding these attacks. Et we have conveyed our serious concerns to the Israeli Defense Forces. Je n'ai pas plus de détails que ça, mais on peut poser la question exactement à UNIFIL s'il y a un statement à ce sujet. Mais ce que je peux vous dire, c'est qu'on a demandé depuis le début et on continue à demander full accountability. Les mots m'échappent en français, excusez-moi. Mais il faut qu'il y ait des enquêtes et il faut qu'on puisse établir tous les aspects, tous les éléments de ces attaques. Gabriela.
Yes, thank you, Alessandra. My question is for you. According to United Nations Charter, as I remember, a country that do something like Israel is doing, maybe should be suspended of being part of the United Nations. Is that any possibility that United Nations Secretary General or the General Assembly suspend Israel of being part of the United Nations?
Gabriela, I can't speak for member states. This is their decision. What we can say on the part of the Secretariat is that we condemn every action that undermines the peace in the region and threatens and endangers civilians' lives. The political consequences and measures that the member states can take is of their resort. What I can tell you is that today there is a meeting on the Middle East, and that should be at 11 o'clock New York time at the Security Council. So I invite you to follow the discussions there. Thank you very much. I don't see other questions, and I don't have other announcements for you today, except that I don't know if Christian, you would like to say anything about World Health Day, since we were speaking about international days? Oh, I see, Gabriela, you still have your hand up.
Gabriela? Yes. Thank you so much. My question is regarding... I don't know how to express. I will ask after. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gabriela. So, Christian, you want to say anything about World Deaf Day, since it's today, I believe?
It is indeed, Alessandra, and that's maybe a good moment because it's the only good news, as it looks like, for the day. It's World Health Day and the birthday of WHO. We had a lot of communication over the weekend. There's a press release out since yesterday. WHO calls for action together for health, stand with science. There is a One Health Summit in Lyon today, or it started actually 2 days ago until today, which is led by the hosted by the French government as one of the flagship events of the G7 French presidency. And this summit will convene heads of states, or did convene heads of states and government, international organizations, scientists, civil society, youth, and local actors to advance global action on One Health. And then there is the global forum of WHO collaborating centers that is from today, so from 7 to 9 April in Lyon. It's collaborating. The motto is collaborating for a healthier future. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for this good news. We really need them. So I thank you all very much. And I really wish you... your presence at the Rwanda commemoration. It's an important day, and we hope that you will be there at 4 o'clock at the Assembly Hall for this solemn commemoration. Thank you very much. I'll see you on Friday. Thank you.